Hasmon. Lord, we are, I got brother James, man, and he's been ministering. I hope you've been watching his YouTubes as well. Very important information, and I love you, Pastor. How's your pastor?
Wonderful.
Good. Praise God. Well, James is going to pray us in, and then we're going to get started.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for another day. Thank you for another opportunity to worship you and hear from your heavenly throne through Pastor Sandy. I pray that the anointed of the Holy Spirit will flow through him, that our ears, our eyes will be open, and that we will receive the truth and apply it to our lives, because we want to be ready on the day when the trumpet sounds and we're caught up in the clouds to meet you in the air. We look forward to that soon coming day. In Yeshua's name, Jesus, we pray and ask it all.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Okay, let me see. All right. Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
You got the camera?
I do.
I want you to look at this. See this couple right here?
Oh, that was the Sunday's...
Yeah. I had to take a picture. If you can show that. That's Ed and Annie Lyons. They are the couple that took care of me when I was in college. And they have been married over 50 years.
Really?
They've been married over 50 years. And when I went to college, you guys know I came from South Central LA, gang shooting, fights, and everything else you can name, you know. And they took me in like a son, you know.
Really?
And just really took care of me and made me feel like family. But what I learned was how he treated his wife and how much he loved his kids and his family. And growing up in South Central, nobody has a dad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was kind of strange to see a dad in the house, and him and his wife weren't arguing. They got along beautifully, and how much he loved her. I remember when he bought her a new house, and how much that made him happy that he was doing that for her. And so it was like the first time I saw normalcy. Like, you guys don't really know my full testimony, but because if I share too much, people stop watching. But they taught me normalcy, because I had never grown up in a house like, you know, my mom had a boyfriend, and she had another boyfriend, and she had another boyfriend. Then she got saved, you know, and then she got away from that. And then that was kind of like, but that wasn't until like I'm about to go to high school, you know, I mean, go to college. So it was just a very weird, violent situation I was growing up in, and to see a normal people living a normal life, who love each other, who live in peace, a father who loves their children, you know what I mean? It just changed my life. So I just want to thank Ed and Annie Lyons and their son Clark and Beth. They all took me in like I was family. And since I know the Lord's coming, I want to make sure that I thank them publicly, okay? Praise God. All right, we have some mail, but did I put it up here, or did I put it over there? We have mail from Deborah Otterburn, and she sent me a beautiful card, and I'm very thankful, Deborah. And she put some really good glue on there.
Yes, she did.
And Colette, little young lady who got married in Israel, and she always sends me really good stuff directly from Israel, and I'm thankful for that as well. Praise God. And here we have Ms. Valerie, it looks like Garnes. Let me look at the card, and then I will. I'm sorry, you guys. Valerie, Herb, Tyrene, and Helen. That's a family. Praise God. P.S. I sent you a birthday card because I'm ready to go. Praise God. Oh, this is a birthday card. Pastor Sandy, for being a watchman, keep barking. She sent me a birthday card. Thank you, because this is my first birthday card. You know, and I appreciate people being early, because I got plans. And I can't wait to tell you that part. If I have anything else other than that, then those three, I'll read it in the morning, Pastor Ben, but I really want to get started and
move in.
So, who is this? My husband Dave worships. Who's this one? I'll have to find that tomorrow. Hallelujah. Okay. Here we go. We are going to talk about, first of all, what the Lord showed me, and I'm hoping that everything happens exactly the way the Lord said. And if it does, I will never be 60 on earth. And people, you don't have to discourage me not to say it. I've been going back and forth with God over this whole thing for a couple of weeks or so, or a week or so at least. So let me, okay, thank you. So I'm gonna go over this before the Bible study. So I'm in the house, and Greg's not here yet, but he knows. I wanted to get Greg going on his watch collection, you know? So I'd ordered him a watch, and it said the watch will be here between the 11th and the 22nd. And it was the 6th, and the Lord told me the watch is already in the box. And I was like, nah, because it comes from, like, China sometimes, next to Russia, a country next to Russia, Ukraine, different places like that. So I'm thinking, nah, it usually gets here late. It doesn't get here early. So it's only the 6th, the 11th, between the 11th and 22nd. So I heard it, and the Lord said, then I'm saying, oh man, I'm going to be 60 this year. The Lord said, you're not going to see your birthday here. And I went, but I didn't want to hear, right? I'm telling you guys this again. I didn't want to hear. Then the Lord said, the watch is here. And I went, but I kind of didn't pay attention. He said, if it's here, will you believe what I just told you? And I said, yeah, you know, I won't have my birthday here. And, but I still didn't go check. Finally, I said, well, let me go check. And I was picking my son up. So I looked in the box, and there the watch is. I'm like, oh man, okay. So now the rest of the week, I'm trying to backpedal. Like, I shouldn't, no, because I asked God, can I tell people or should I not tell people? And he said, rather you do or you don't, it's not going to change anything. And I went, okay. So, but I'm still trying to backpedal. Like, okay, maybe if I said I wasn't sure about the voice, but maybe it could have been, you know, because I don't want to be like, you know. And God, I think God was just kind of laughing at me, because he knows, like, nobody wants to hear it, you know. Oh, you said, I don't want to hear it. If I hear, I'm going to share it if God gives it to me, right? So, while I'm going on this week, if you look at your notes, you got notes?
Yep.
I hope the people at home got notes. You see that calendar? There was a young lady. I'm on this second page, yeah. This young lady sent me this. She said she was in a restaurant eating, and she looked up and saw this calendar said October, right? Now, do you see how the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th are crossed out by some type of light?
Yes.
But there's a light shining on the 25th, right? And it's a plane about, and they're packing, getting ready to take off, right? Now, the crazy thing is, because I used to be Rahman Abdul Rahim, when I read the Quran, it always called Jesus Esau. So what's the name on there? Esau. Because in Arabic, Jesus is Esau. So I don't know what that is for. I don't know, it could be an oil coming in for all I know. But I'm like, well, Esau is Jesus. And then the 25th is lit up. And this is the Lord told me I'm leaving before. So I'm like, okay, but I'm still trying to backpedal, right? So I'm like, well, maybe he meant my spiritual birthday, because I was born again January 5th, 1979. And then the Lord stopped me and said, you know that is not what I meant. And I heard clear, like, that is not what, you know that is not what I meant. Okay, so I went, oh, okay. So then a lady named Linda Lindau, I think that's the way you pronounce it, she's leaving this message like, I've got to talk to Pastor Sandy. He's got to call me. So I see the message. I said, I left her a message. I'll call you in the morning. I call her in the morning. She said, I want to tell you about a dream I had 11 years ago. I had a dream, and I went and I told my friend about the dream, and we looked up who Colin Powell was. And in my dream, I saw the Lord, and the Lord told me that when Colin Powell dies, I'm coming. She said, this was 11 years ago. And she said, I told my friend, you remember that dream I had 11 years ago? She said, yeah, I saw he died. He's like, oh, Jesus is coming. So she wanted me to call her to tell me that she had that experience, right? So anyway, I'm tired of backing out. Whatever happens, happens. I want to be gone. And I know I heard clearly, and this seems like two confirmations. I don't know. Amen. But it's not the Bible. Me, I go by the Bible. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't like going by something unless, but, you know, I've been going by the Bible for how many years? 17 years. And we've seen a lot of dates come and go, and biblically accurate, and they just come and go, especially 2017. So anyway, I've just never been dealt with on this in this type of level before, and but I would be absolutely happy to laugh all the way up. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. Now I want us to do kind of a review. Okay. On Sunday, what I showed everyone was that Psalms 1 verse 6 is a prophecy about the rapture. The prophecy tells us that in a future time, God is going to take half of the waters and bring them above the firmament, and the other parts of the water and leave, yeah, what did I say? Yeah, Genesis. And he's going to leave the other water under below the thing. So God is like, there's going to be a separation of water. Okay, now in the Hebrew, as I'm reading, Vayavdel meant to divide, and then Ben means between. So Vayavdel meant is 117. Okay, and the word Ben between is 62. So we go to the only chapter in the Bible, and it's Psalms 117, and what does it do? It divides the word of God. And it has 62 letters in the verse, in the two verses, right? So as I'm studying this, I realize this is a scripture that divides the word of God and tells the Gentiles to praise his name. All Gentile nations, praise my name, praise the name of the Lord. And it divides the water as if say it's a deliverance of going through. So in 2017, we were all like, we are getting raptured, 2017. Then we started looking up everything in scripture that dealt with 2017. Matthew. And the four gospels and Acts, 117 chapters. The Song of Songs, talking about marriage, 117 verses. Everything was coming out 117, right? Even the flood is 711, and then Hebrews is talking about Noah, 117. In 1117, so everything was like 117 is the year, and that's the year 2017. So now I collect all of the data from these two verses in Psalms 117, and it gives me 2,294. And then now he says, now there's another place where the scriptures divide, and it's Psalms 119. Because each chapter chapter in Psalms 119, it is actually a Hebrew letter. So when you get to the 11th letter, since it's 22 letters, the next letter will be the second half. He said, right where that divides, where the 88th verse is and the 89th verse is going to have the same numerical value as Psalms 117, both scriptures. And the first verse is going to say, quicken me, Lord, okay, with your loving kindness and rescue me, right? Then the next verse says, forever your word is settled in heaven. So it's like, okay, everything God was showing me about the Kuf and the Lamed has to be understood by the church, because the church doesn't understand that the Bible is governed by the Hebrew letters. If you understand that, you'll understand the theme of every book, because the letters are going to tell you what the book is going to be about, okay? The letters, like Aleph is always going to talk about Genesis. So since you got three sets of 22, that means you have three Aleph books, you got three Bet books, you got three, you know, Kof books, Gamel, all of the letters, you have three of each one. That's why there's 66 books in the Bible, which, you know, I asked the pastor a long time ago, and he said, oh, I'm sure they left some of them out, and, you know, it's not supposed to be that way, but then he got on this black man thing, and I was like, dude, I ain't trying to hear all that. I just wanted to ask you about the Bible, okay? So, as I'm studying the scripture today, I realize that the 11th book of the Bible is 1 Kings, okay? And 1 Kings is a Kof book. Now, what does Kof mean? Kof means a crowning. This is a book about crowning the king and going down and rescuing or bringing up the bride, okay? So Kof is about a crowning of the king and going down and bringing up the bride, because you got to bring the bride into the palace, right? And then after that, Lamed now is talking about the rapture that has just taken place and the judgment that's going to happen with the nation of Israel, okay? I was just telling Brother James, I wish I had 3 hours to do this, but I don't. So, the 11th book of the Bible is 1 Kings. So let's go there. 1 Kings. Now, God's like, this is why. Now, we did this already, so I don't want to have to go back over it. But 1 Kings chapter 1 is the 11th book of the Bible. That means, look, this is the end of the first part of the story. It's time to crown the king and go down and get the bride. Okay? So now, what do we read? When David was old and well advanced in years, he could not keep himself warm. When they put covers on him. So his servant said to him, let us look for a young virgin to attend the king and take care of him. She can lie beside him so that our Lord the king may keep warm. Okay, I know I'm repeating, but this is leading to something else. Then they searched all of Israel for a beautiful woman, a beautiful girl, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the girl was very beautiful. She took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no intimate relations with her. Now we see, soon as the Kof book begins, it's doing what the letters say do. What? We're talking about a king, because it's a crowning, it's the crowning structure of the Bible. We have a king, but They have to go out and find a beautiful woman to come to the palace and be with the king. So they find this woman, they bring her in to the king. Like, if soon as they find the church, soon as the Holy Spirit takes the church to be in the palace in the kingdom, then now on earth, Thessalonians says, now the Antichrist can come. But before the Antichrist comes, a beautiful woman has to go into the palace. You understand? This is the typology. And we're going to get deeper into this in a second. So they bring her into the palace. The next verse immediately says, and now Adonijah means the Lord God. This guy gave himself the name Adonijah. I'm the Lord God. Okay? Like the Antichrist is pretending that he's God, right? Because he wants to be the pseudo Christ. And he says, and now Adonijah, whose mother was Haggai, put himself forward and said, I will be king. Wait a minute. David already told his wife that the next king is going to be Solomon. So the next king has already been hammered out. We already know who it's going to be. How are you going to step forward and make yourself king? Because you're an Antichrist figure. Now let's see if he does what the Antichrist does. So he got chariots of horses ready with 50 men to run ahead of him. His father had never interfered with him by asking, why do you behave the way you do? He was also very handsome and was born next to Absalom. So Adonijah conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest, and they gave him their support. So now you got a false trinity trying to rule over what God has not given them authority to rule over. So eventually, God's going to have to send Solomon to break up that whole thing and take back the kingdom. Okay? We're not going to read all that into it, but that's eventually what happened. They went to the king and they said, wasn't Solomon supposed to be king? And they said, okay. So Solomon said, get a donkey, take Solomon and take a marching band and take the horns and go down there and kick Adonijah out of there with his three cohorts or with his two cohorts and get them out of there and let them know who the real king is. Like when Jesus comes, he's going to get rid of the Antichrist, the false beast, the false prophet, and he's going to come down and he's going to declare who the real king is, right? That's what Solomon did. Okay? So now, God is like, the whole book today, as I'm studying this, and I got in tears, and I was like, why do you show me so much? He says, the whole book is about the bride going up to see the king. Okay? So the Lord said, okay, this is what I need you to do. I need you to read. Let me make sure I get the right paper here. I need you to read. Stay in 1 Kings and go to chapter 10. So I'm in 1 Kings and I go to chapter 10. This is the tonight's notes. This is tonight's notes. And I need you to be on still on the second page, okay? Now watch this. Are you in 1 Kings chapter 10? Okay. Now, before, and I'm going to do it the way the Lord did it for me, okay? Before we read the story of the Queen of Sheba, what do we know about it? She's a queen in a foreign land. She's royalty already in a foreign land. But she has a desire because she heard about the wisdom and the wealth of Solomon. She heard about it. People were telling her. So finally, she decides, I've got to go and see for myself. Okay? Now, The Queen of Sheba, let me begin to read it, and let me do this here. It says, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon, his relationship to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had had on her mind. Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the plate and the palace he had built, the food on the table, the settings of his officials, the seatings of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, and the cupbearers and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed. And she said this. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even a half was told me. In wisdom or in wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy are the men who serve you. So the Lord says, stop. He says, what does Sheba mean? I said, I don't know what Sheba means. I guess that's the country she came from. She lived in Sheba. She was the Queen of Sheba, and she came. So the Lord said, why don't you look it up? You're supposed to be a student, right? I looked it up, and it says Sheba, and I know this. Look. Ahad, Stein, Shalosh, Arba, Chamesh, Shesh, Sheba, or Shiva, because the B is a V, okay? So what does her name mean? Seven. So how many churches are going to heaven? Seven. How many children did Leah have? He said, tell them, get ready, because when you get there, you're going to say the same thing that she said. You have far exceeded what we thought that we would see. Your wisdom and the place you built and the table setting. And the Lord's like, this is what the church is about to say when they get to the heavens. Because you're finally going to go from a foreign land and you're going to go up to Jerusalem. Now, the kingdom was in Jerusalem. You're going to go up to Jerusalem to see the king who you heard about, because none of y'all have seen him. We've heard about him. We've read about him. We have never sat in his presence and he answered questions for us. But I think the book of Jeremiah says, when we get to the kingdom, he's going to sit us all down and teach us the word. Now, the name means Sheba, but it has a root, the oath. So it has kind of a double meaning. So there was a promise. Let's go to 1 John chapter 14. I mean, not 1 John, the book of John, chapter 1. I mean, chapter 14. My brain just be running. Like, slow down. You in chapter 14? Who's that laughing? Because this is the promise. Watch this. Because you see, if you look at the paper, it says Sheba means seven. So she's one queen, but she's representing seven. One bride, but we represent what? Seven churches. Okay? She finally gets to the kingdom. Oh my goodness. It's great that they told me. It's incredible. Okay? And then He said, oh, but what about the second half of the name? Here's the promise. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and perilambano, take you as a friend of companion, which is what the word means, take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So that was the oath. So Sheba is representing the seven churches that are going to fulfill the oath that was given to them. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Oh yeah? Well, what's it going to look like? Oh, it's going to be nice. Well, what's going to be in it? Because we all talk about, how is that mansion going to look? What is the kingdom? What does Jerusalem look like? Oh, we hear Jesus is king. When we get there, he's going to be on the throne. And we heard about it. But he said, when you get there, he said, it's going to blow your minds. Like Sheba, she said she was overwhelmed. She said, the half wasn't told to me.
Good news, Pastor Sandy.
So I'm sitting here and I'm like, Lord, you just be showing me too much. And I'm almost in tears. And then the Lord says, a lamed in the middle of 15 Psalms is an abnormality. That means you've got 15 verses talking about the same thing, except one diverts from all of them to let you know that something's happening. And now, the fact that it does it in the exact same year, that 7 years before the end of the tribulation, this is not coincidence. This is not coincidence. I'm trying to tell you what's about to happen, because until it happens, Satan thinks that I'm not going to act. My people think I'm not going to act. They think I'm just going to wait around and wait till all of them lose their jobs and they're running around and hiding in holes, that this is what they think. But when I act, the whole world's going to know, oh my God, he's real. It's time to go up and see all that we've heard about. Woo. So God says, Lamed is an abnormality. It is a letter placed in scripture where it shouldn't be. Anyone that has read this and says Psalms 120, the Psalm of Ascent, the Psalm of the Ascent, the Psalm of the Ascent, and then you get to Psalms 121 and it says the Psalm of Ascending, to ascend up, and it puts it in a verb form. And if God said that's an abnormality for a reason, why is a lamed there? And then now we have to look at that, because if the lamed is there, then that means if the kof is talking about a beautiful woman being brought into the palace, and then it's talking about a beautiful woman who comes from a far away places going to the palace and being overwhelmed by the wealth and the beauty and the wisdom the king she had heard about. That means when you get to 2 Kings, it's going to talk about the same thing. And what's 2 Kings talking about? Let's go to 2 Kings. Because if Kof is I'm coming down to take you, Lamed is we going up to the heavens. Mm-hmm. Okay? I am. Okay. Did you guys know that 2 Kings let's go to the front of 2 Kings. Now, I need to ask you guys this question. What does Solomon mean? You guys know? what Solomon means? Peace. Now, Solomon is the son of David. Then at some time, he was the prince of peace. So Solomon was not just Solomon.
Wow.
His name means peace. And until he became king, he was the prince of peace. You understand?
Yeah.
So the prince of peace is who this connection is with, is because we're talking about the prince of peace, which is Christ Jesus. Okay? The whole book of 2 Kings, God wants me to know, I'm talking about, in 2 Kings, every event is going to be talking about rapture events, rescuing Israel, and all of these things. Let me read here. You see, I want to make sure. Oh, okay, here it is. Now watch this. The Lord says, is there a rapture inside of the book of 2 Kings? I said, yeah, Elijah got taken up. He said, it's supposed to be there. Why? It's a Lamed book. Lamala means to go up. Remember, Lamed goes up higher than all the other letters. So where else am I going to put this? I got to put it in the 12th book, because there's a taking up going to happen. Now, so it says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel, to the house of God. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you on today? Yes, I know it. So, did Elijah know that he was about to leave? This is a goddamn. Did Elijah know he's about to leave? Mm-hmm. See, what's wrong with me telling you that you're out of here? Did Elijah know he was about to leave?
Yes.
He knew it. And as a matter of fact, some other guy comes to Elisha and says, hey, do you know that he's leaving? He even knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the day or the hour. God says, look, if you don't know the day or the hour, that's okay. But don't be in sin like the Pharisees and not even know the time or the season.
Right.
Okay? So God wanted me to know, this whole chapter 2 is talking about the second coming, the rapture, the taking away, the rescue of Israel, okay, and all of that. Now, I don't want to, I can't get into it because now I got to get back to Genesis chapter 2. Because God says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 is the first rapture scenario. It's I'm going to divide. I'm going to take peoples, places, and nations, languages. I'm going to take half of them above the firmament, and I'm leaving half of them underneath. Okay, I'm going to divide the waters. Then he says, now what's the second rapture scenario? And I say, it's got to be Adam. Because Adam was created, but Adam is a prophecy. See, we have to understand, the prophecy about the rapture is a prophecy about Gentiles leaving. So God was thinking about Gentiles in Genesis chapter 1. Dividing the waters, when you get to 1:17, it doesn't say all you Jewish nations rejoice. It says, all you Gentiles rejoice. So that means Psalms chapter 1, verse 6 is talking directly to the Gentiles of what's going to happen when he divides the waters.
Yes.
Okay? Now he says, the second one is about a Gentile rapture. Well, how do we know? Let's read chapter 2. You guys there? And it's, where does it say? I will make him. In verse 18. And it says, and God said, it is not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.
out of the ground. Okay? Out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called the living creatures, that's what he named them. So Adam gave to the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. There was no one kimocha. There was no one like him. You understand? That's a kaf. That's a semek. There's no one like Adam. Now look, after God had finished making the world on the sixth day, he said, I saw everything that I made, and God said that it was good. Then God rested. Then you get to chapter 2, and it says, and God made Adam and placed him in paradise. And then it says, then he saw that Adam, there was no one like Adam for him to be with. Mm-hmm. The animals had people, someone to be with, but Adam had no one that was like him. God said, stop. At the one time, Sandy, there was only one resurrected person in the world. And who was that? Jesus. And he said, and I don't want Jesus to be the only resurrected person in heaven, because he has a resurrected body. Wow. So he says, I'm going to make a bride for him so that he can have someone like him. Okay? Because when Adam saw Eve, what did he say? And said, stop it. Pastor Ben, that's what you said. Pastor Ben said, whoa, man. What is that? That is a woman. So Adam sees her, and Adam says, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, she's just like me.
Yep.
Now, you think you get to heaven with flesh and blood? You think Jesus can say, just like me?
No.
You got to get there what? In a resurrected body. So he can say, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, kimocha. She's just like me. You understand? She can never die. She has a resurrected body. She's brand new. She's nothing. She's no flesh and blood that can die. Okay? So God is going to bring together the second Adam and the bride that was created after he went to sleep and got pierced in the side. Because that's what happened to the first Adam, right?
Yeah.
First Adam was put to sleep, got pierced in the side, and he made the bride out of what was in his side. Yeah. Second Adam, on the cross, pierced in the side, blood and water. We're saved by the baptism of the water and the blood covenant, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, we become a bride. And this is what it says, though. It says this, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. There's no such thing as a rapture. Jesus is just going to come back. What and how is the bride going to get to the second Adam?
Right.
If the word is prophecy, then that means, is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Is God God?
Yes.
Did God take Adam's wife to him?
Yes.
Is the Holy Spirit scheduled to take us to God?
Yes.
Okay, or to the second Adam, right?
Yes.
So the same scenario is happening right now, okay?
Amen. 10 minutes left to say.
Oh, let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. queen of seven. I said, Lord. She's just another representation of the church, Sandy. I was like, really? Are you in Psalms 119? Go to verse 88 and 89. Okay. Are you there in your Bible? Right before 89, what's the letter that's above it? Or what's the name of the letter that's right above it? Lamed, right? That means that's the time for going up. Okay? So 88 is the time, 89 is the time of going up. The letter before it, the scripture before it is 88, which is the last verse of the Kaf, which means going down. Because look, Jesus is coming down to the cloud to take the bride back up to heaven. Okay? This is the way he's scheduled it. This is the way he's prophesied it. This is the way he's going to make every prophecy in the scriptures so that you can see that that he has to come down and then bring her up. Okay? So now, this is what it says. And where's my book? There it is. Ah, yes. One of the greatest books ever written. The Lord said, don't say his name. God's waiting for him to repent. Okay, great book. You know what he did? He wrote this book, amazing book. And then he decided, I'm gonna try DMT to open my pineal gland. And while he's out on DMT, these spirits come to him and tell him that Christianity is not real and that you need to get away from it. And don't. So he comes back off this high from DMT and denounces Christianity after writing this book.
Awesome book.
So I wrote him a long, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Of course, the demons that you saw when your pineal gland was open are not going to tell you that Jesus is real.
Right.
So anyway, that's enough because I could talk about it. So here we are. At Psalm 88, let's 119 verse 88. This is what it says. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. Okay? Now, the problem with that is English, okay? Because here's a better interpretation of that. It says in verse 88, quicken me after thy love and kindness. Kimoka. Okay, I mean, kasedcha. Kehasdecha. Okay? The word kehasdecha has a kof in the beginning and has a safit kof at the end of going down. So it has both forms of this kof letter, okay? And this is how the scripture should read. It says, quicken me. Now, the word quicken, hava, means to give me eternal life. Give me true life, okay? So they're asking, quicken me, Lord, with your kehazdecha, with your loving kindness. So shall I keep your testimony of my mouth. Now, that's us asking God to do what? Quicken us. Give us in a moment, okay? Now, we go to 89, verse 89. And then we read Psalms 119, verse 89. And it says this. Le'olam, O Lord. So now you got the Lamed, okay? And it says, Le'olam, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So now the Lamed takes you up. So he came down. Now the Lamed says, your word is settled. Where at? In heaven. Your loving kindness brought me up. Now it's forever settled in heaven. Now, those two verses equals 2:2:9:4. Okay? Now let's go back to Psalm 117. Two verses. Praise ye the Lord, all you Gentiles, and extol him, all you people. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Who? All you Gentiles. Numerical value of those two verses? 2:2:9:4. The same as 89, and which is the Kaf and Lamed of 119. So God is like, wait a minute. I told you about 117 in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, because to divide is 117. And between is 62. That scripture you read has 62 letters, and it's in chapter 117. So I guided you here so that you can see that this is the rapture, and I'm going to show you where it divides at. Where does it divide? Between Kaf and Lamed. So I get back to the question. Is Lamed an abnormality to just put in between 15 of the same psalm, the psalm of ascent, and say, for 14 of them, don't put the Lamed in, but on the one that's in 121 for the year 2021, put it there. And we're supposed to ignore it. And then if we go through Psalms 121 to 28, it's like a skeleton replica of the rapture. And so God is like, we are like Sheba. We are seven churches. We kind of believe it, but it sounds far-fetched. I know people talk about it, and it's glorious, but it's kind of far-fetched. So she said, even I kind of didn't believe all that was being said. But now I see that they didn't tell me the half of how great it really is. So I'm studying today, and the Lord says, that's what they're about to experience. They're going to see that it's greater than everything you thought of, than everything you imagined. Okay? When you're sitting up there, me and Mom, we're going to have brand new bodies. You won't need no glasses, no nothing. Hey, we'll be the same age so we can dance. I mean, and then someone will escort you and say, oh, by the way, he knows just what you like, and your place is over here. Oh, where are the keys? Oh, you don't need no keys here. You don't need no keys. Just go and walk in, right? So, and he says, oh, by the way, some of your relatives are already there waiting for you. Okay? And, you know, so we don't really understand what we're about to get into. Okay? We really don't. We really think like, God's going to forget about us and just leave us here for, we're going to have to take a shot. That's Christianity almost. Yeah. Everybody's like, is he going to forget about us? Never forget you. Say, your own mother and father may forget you, but Jesus said he will never forget you. So he knows what's going on. He set the Lamed in 2021 for a reason. And so now, he comes to me and he's like, oh, before your birthday. And I'm like, no. But listen, I am excited about this day because I know one thing you guys don't know. God called me to do this. He called me to do this. 2003, in a living room, in a apartment condominium on Gaviota. He said, this is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard. And that was, what, 2003? And we started church in 2004? And if we're out of here in 2021, do not try to stop me from dancing. Praise God. Don't try to stop me. You're just going to get yourself hurt. I'm going to be all over the place. Praise God.
That's it?
That's it. We'll see him tomorrow morning.
Amen.